This is Will's Band of the Week for February 12th, 2017. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
And guess what? Someone else is live in studio, and he can identify himself right now. Hear that?
Yes, those are my ice cubes from the scotch that I'm drinking. And it's me, Chris. You remember me?
Yeah.
Old internet buddies?
Yeah. He's an internet character, Chris is.
And I'm an internet star now. I tweeted something that got 25,000 retweets.
I saw that.
Not wow. retweets. 25,000 likes, like 10,000 retweets.
Damn. Right. If we could just get 25,000 podcast listeners, we should have at least that.
Do you want a dramatic reading of my tweet that went worldwide?
Yeah, let's hear it.
What did it say?
Well, it was about Frederick Douglass and the Super Bowl.
Yes, it was Trump has declined to make a pick in the Super Bowl until he determines whether Frederick Douglass is off the injured reserve.
Right.
Or is healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
You know what?
Because he believes famous abolitionist Frederick Douglass is still alive.
Right. Well, he's getting more and more credit and notice from the public.
He's doing some great things.
Yeah, he is.
You know,
my God.
I saw that, but here's the problem. Like, I didn't get it at the time because I didn't have the context, and I didn't know the whole Frederick Douglass story.
Yeah.
So when I read it, I thought, well, is there some guy named Frederick Douglass who plays for the Patriots or something? You know, so
no.
But I got it later. I figured it out later.
He clearly had no idea who Frederick Douglass was, and then his spokesman that day was asked about it, and clearly he didn't know either. So
right, yeah. It's funny how people just let him get away with, people just don't even care.
Right. Right.
They don't care. It's just a bunch of, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they went into it like, oh, what's this event? Black History Month thing. Like, let's wing it. You know, not caring enough to do any preparation.
Did you see his actual speech from the Black History Month event, though? Where he spent a couple paragraphs talking about how the media is mean to him. And that, oh, they talked about the Martin Luther King bust.
Right.
And so unfair. Like, what are you talking about? This
right.
is insane.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm. So, music podcast.
It is. It's a music podcast. Also, let's let him in on a little behind the scenes thing. We were supposed to have Anurag tonight.
Yeah, special guest.
Yeah. So, there might be one of those. We're hoping to hear one of those Skype beep sounds that sounds like a song by the Postal Service.
Right.
But we'll see if that happens.
I'm going to make that sound with my mouth, and you're not going to be able to tell the difference. I'm going to be the Michael Winslow of this podcast.
All right.
I don't know who that is, but from Police Academy?
Yes, he's the guy from Police Academy. Yeah.
Does he?
Trivia master.
Nice.
Hey, you guys are bigger on pop culture than me. So tell me this, so I should feel, I'm going to feel good or bad, depending on how you answer this. Is Lewis Black funny?
I don't like him at all. I just find him, whenever he's on, I just want to turn it off.
Hmm.
Yeah,
he's annoying to me.
He's a style comedian. I mean, he's got his style. Things he says aren't really all that funny. Mm. Sometimes they can be funny just in his outrage and his screaming.
I'm going to be in another town, and Lewis Black was going to be there. I needed something to do, so I'm going to go see him.
Where is this town?
It's called Boston.
Boston.
Oh, it's named after the band?
The city was named after the band, actually, because the album was such a big hit, and they thought, let's call our city Boston.
I don't know if Barrett watched this, but I was watching, what was that show that I watched it was a PBS series, it was like a 10-part...
Sesame Street?
No, it wasn't Sesame Street. This is not about Grover. It was a show about, like, I think it was an 8-part series about recording music, and they were talking about the mechanics of recording and the new technology, and the guy from Boston was on.
Tom Scholz?
Is that his name?
Oh, come on. You gotta know who Tom Scholz is.
So he was on talking about how he recorded the whole, like, their first big song by himself in the basement, and it became this big hit, and suddenly the record companies were like, well, you gotta go on tour. And he's like, I don't have a band, it's just me.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, when they were talking about multi-tracking and things like that, the new technology of the 1970s. That's how it all came about.
Yeah. So, like, more than a feeling? That's, like, all Tom Scholz? Like,
yes.
All the instruments?
Yes. Played all the instruments, wrote the song himself.
I feel bad that, the drummer with the big afro wasn't actually playing the drums. Remember the guy, the drummer that had, like, this gigantic hair?
Kind of.
You guys don't know your Boston trivia well enough.
Yeah.
Come on. I saw them live once.
At Titan Stadium, or was it?
It was at what used to be called the Milwaukee Arena.
Ooh.
Later called the Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really that great as a live band, to be honest. For, you know, arena rock, they were a little bit behind in terms of live performance, but they're okay. All right, let's. So we have indie rock veterans this week, and it's going to be fun. So we decided in pre-production that we would start with Cloud Nothings. So
Soundbreaking. That was the name of the. That was the name of the show.
Is it a Netflix thing or something?
I purchased it to watch it on Amazon Prime, but it was on PBS. It was like an 8-part PBS series, and it's outstanding. I would recommend it to anybody.
Oh, man, that sounds like something I would really like.
Yeah.
So it's all about recording, pretty much?
Yes, it's about kind of how things are recorded, the sounds that are made, but each one they kind of break down between. So there's one episode about, you know, technology, and then there's one about the voice, and then there's one about, you know, the music, and I think there's like a special hip-hop one. So they kind of break it down by genre, by instrument, but it's really great. I'd recommend it highly.
Cool. All right. Cloud Nothings, there's a new album called Life Without Sound. They are an Ohio-based power pop band. Can we call them that?
I think that's indeed fair.
Mm-hmm.
One of, you know, the many bands to come from Cleveland over the past few years. That's actually not true, but...
Right.
I don't know about power pop.
Well,
might not be. They're a little more rock than pop, I think, but fair enough.
Their very first album was very poppy. Mm-hmm. It was like really kind of sugar-coated candy pop.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that one very much, and I think it's the second one that...
It's really good.
Is Attack on Memory the second one?
Yeah.
The Albini one, and that one is maybe still their best album. But there's a new one, and that means we're going to talk about it because they're indie rock veterans. So, well, Chris, you were in pre-production. You were deciding on a track, so why don't you take the first pick?
Let's pick the third song on the album, which is called Internal World. Say what you are to anyone.
Like mine. Cloud Nothings.
Yeah, that's a very catchy one. That was one of my picks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a, I say magazine article, but it was obviously a website, making the rounds a couple weeks ago that kind of bemoaned the lack of rock music these days and picked Cloud Nothings as kind of, you know, one of the few bands that are shouldering the burden at the time, like, you know, Cloud Nothings and Japandroids and mm-hmm. Black Keys and, you know, some other bands. And the gist of the whole article was that you could be the biggest rock band in the world, and yet still there's a cap on your popularity now. Like, you'll still essentially just be playing small venues because, you know, big rock bands don't play
right
big arenas anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because, like, I feel if they were out when I was in college, they'd be playing the Orpheum or someplace like that.
Right. Where are they playing in Madison?
At the High Noon.
At the High Noon.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah. What? Yeah. I think I'm going to be there. My son Reese is pretty much demanding that we go.
How did I not know this was happening?
Yeah, well, I'll be back in touch tomorrow.
What about Japandroids on Monday? Did you know about that?
I didn't know about that either. I'm out of the loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a rockin' town this week.
Wow. Yeah, we're rockin'.
We'll have the one live report. Maybe somebody will go see Japandroids. I'll do that.
I've seen them at High Noon. Last time they were here, they were at High Noon, and I saw them play there. But yeah, I mean, if this was 1994, this band would be playing a big venue.
Right.
But it's not.
So here we are, Cloud Nothings.
Here we are.
I heard a little thing.
Could that be our Canadian
Anurag,
friend?
Anurag just officially canceled on us.
What?
Oh, he did.
Had a long day at work.
And he's checking his watch to find that out.
I have it on my watch, yeah. It's terrible. This is a dumb thing.
As I bemoan, like, modernity and
I know.
Technology.
Yeah.
And now the public knows I have this goofy, nerdy watch.
He's like, yeah.
I have to say that I really only have it as a running watch because it has a GPS on it, and it's really great for, like, a fitness tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, Chris is like, he's
modern
even,
day sucks
he's
as he looks at his
now.
Watch and is emailing on his watch. God.
We're going to miss you, Anurag.
Pour one out for Anurag.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to do it again, but if we still talk about the band that he was really going to like,
yeah,
I was going to kind of take the gloves off, or put the gloves on, I guess is what you do, and punch softly, but now I'll take them off and really let this artist have it.
Yeah.
Is that right? You take them off.
Yeah, when you take them off, that means
you're punching them right with a...
Yeah,
with
there's no
knuckles.
Rules anymore, right? You don't have, like, the constraint of the gloves. Mm-hmm. Right?
But you don't hear the alternate of that, putting the gloves on.
Yeah.
I'm going to rip you, but gently.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would say, I'm going to treat this with kid gloves.
Oh, like,
why do
they...
kid gloves, yeah.
Kid gloves, it's like, what is that?
But nobody ever uses adult gloves.
No. I think kid gloves is... I always thought of it as kind of a kangaroo reference. You know, they had like kangaroo boxing back in the day.
Yes, like the cartoons.
Well, with boxing not just the Bugs Bunny cartoon, but there was a thing that they used to do. You know, because they'd bounce around and people would punch them in the face or snout or whatever.
All right,
we should probably just stay on track.
Yeah, we were talking about Cloud Nothings,
right?
Sure.
So I think there's a pretty good range on this album between kind of poppy stuff, I think, and then more, you know, kind of like he screams on a couple songs, and he kind of screams pretty well, I think. But I'm going to pick, for my pick, I'm going to pick probably the, I don't know, one of the definitely more poppy ones called Modern Act.
This is what God is.
Cloud Nothings.
Now, if I remember correctly, Will, you saw them at the Pitchfork Festival a couple years ago?
God, I've seen them at the High Noon, I think, twice. Okay. But I don't know if I saw them
I thought
outdoors.
I remember you saying you saw them at the Pitchfork Festival, because it's I watched the video of it, and I remember looking for you in the video where it's like 95 degrees outside, and he's wearing a big sweater.
I should be able to remember that.
Any rock star would do.
Sure. Yeah.
But I would, if you can find that on YouTube, I'd recommend it because it's a good show. But
I was going to give you the tidbit. The tidbit that I heard is that they have a fourth member now. The last two times I've seen them, they've been a three-person band, and I'm a fan of the four-person rock format with two guitars instead of one. I think it really helps the sound. You know, a lot of good guitar players can make a lot of sound out of one guitar, but. Kind of a fan of the double guitar arsenal.
Green Day got a good 20 years out of one guitarist.
The Who?
Although, yeah, they did.
Although they had... What's going on there?
Man, that was
did
loud.
Did he change his mind after we said that stuff?
That could be Anurag.
How could he have heard it? That's what,
I don't know. Yeah. Let's look. Yep. Oh, good. He feels guilty about it. At least that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he was just like, you know, didn't even care? Just like, meh. I don't feel like it.
Pretty sure his messages are off the record. Like... He's probably not expecting them to be read
I don't think he wants
on the podcast.
I don't think so. Let's just say that the big corporations are out to get him.
Sorry, guys. I got a long night of beating off to do.
Oh, no. Anurag.
Anurag.
No, he would never have said something like that.
I'm sure Will has a filter on his computer to block such...
Yeah, if it said that, it would have been changed into just like X's or something. Yep. Hey, Barrett, did you listen to that Cloud Nothings album?
I did, and I chose three songs, right?
Did we pick either
and
of
them? You picked
any of them?
Look, you picked, well, the first and the third one.
All right.
So I'll pick the middle one.
Sure.
Enter Entirely.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you guys remember a band from the early 2000s? I'm not sure when their career started and when it ended, but a band called Idlewild.
I do.
They sound exactly like Idlewild. It's weird.
I remember the name of Idlewild, but I can't place the sound. Huh?
They had an album called like 100 Broken Chairs or Windows or Chairs.
Ooh.
100 Broken Windows. 100 Broken Windows.
Windows. I think.
Yeah, or maybe it was even 1,000. It was a lot of windows. I think I'm getting it confused with I Break Chairs, which it was the Damian Jurado's kind of attempt to rock out a little bit.
Yes.
Chris is going to do some music journalism.
Yes.
So, well, I'm going to give this a definite positive review. I think the last album that they did, Here and Nowhere Else, I was starting to kind of fade on them.
Yeah.
Like
100 Broken Windows.
There you go.
Don't test the bean.
I think it's a solid return to form by Cloud Nothings. And I think it's a consistent album, too. There's something to be said for a consistent album, right?
Mm-hmm.
We like consistent albums, don't we?
Yes. I still believe Attack on Memory is probably my favorite of theirs.
Pretty hard to beat that one. So, yeah, maybe. But this is a good one.
Indeed. So I also give it a thumbs up.
You know, they got kind of lost in the shuffle of all the cloud bands at that one time.
Yeah.
And I know that we had some kind of way of remembering what... Now I'll remember it because I like these guys better than the others, but... I never really listened to their old stuff. I think I might have for the podcast and just, but then never put it on again.
Yeah. When their first one came out and I hadn't heard that, and it was really poppy. And then their second one came out and I think that was the Steve Albini one. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. This band is like kind of a retro, you know, Nirvana style band, which of course is, you know, up my alley. And so that's when I started listening to them, and I've liked everything that they've done, including their duet with, they came out with a co-album with...
Waves. Yeah, that's good.
Which is also really good.
Yeah, my son Reese is a big fan of that, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually know that as a fact.
Endorsed by Reese.
Endorsed by Reese. Right.
Okay, very good. Cloud Nothings. Let's continue down indie rock veteran road. Should we do that?
Is that a sanctioned city?
Sanctuary
city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sanctuary for old rockers?
Yeah. That'd be a good name for a street, Indie Rock Veteran Road.
Yes. I guess.
So, we touched on Japandroids a little bit, and just so happens we're prepared to talk about the new Japandroids album. And, they're sort of becoming indie rock veterans now, I think.
Well... I guess, you know, if you think about it in sports terms, Jabari Parker is a veteran for the Bucks, so we can call Japandroids indie rock veterans.
They just kind of seem like veterans to me, mm-hmm. But they don't put out a lot of albums. I think their last album was in 2012, so they space them apart. They're a two-person band, which can have its issues.
Yeah, you're complaining about three-person bands.
Yeah.
Here's two.
Okay, but you know
this
what?
This is a direct middle finger to you, Will.
The drummer for Japandroids is a really good drummer, and what the guitar player does is he plugs his guitar into like four amps, and so he's probably got pedals where he can just like have it running through only one amp or like all four of them, and then they're EQ'd differently, so some of them have like a really bassy sound, and so they can make a pretty good wall of sound. And of course, on the recording, they probably sort of cheat and overdub and stuff. But
they should add a third member to the band that just dances.
That'd be good. Yeah.
What do you play in the band? My feet.
Well, I don't. You know, when people play turntable, I mean, what do you think of that? It's just kind of.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
Yeah. They don't have a turntable player.
You guys play the, guitar and drums. I'm just going to play some records. Up here.
There's a really catchy song on Apple commercials right now. It's by a Philadelphia band, and I forget the name of the band right now, but it's a really like catchy song. And I went and I watched them. There's a video clip of them playing the song on YouTube, and it's her singing, and it's basically a guy with a... It's kind of an electronic-sounding song. It's called Down, and... It's her singing, a female singing, and a guy just behind a keyboard, but it's all clearly pre-recorded. So in the lulls in the song where she's not singing, it goes to him, and he's like pretending to like DJ. And like, it's like, oh, God, just stop. This is clearly recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Huh.
Japandroids.
Right. Yeah. They actually play their instruments, Japandroids.
Funny you bring that up because all your parts on this podcast are pre-recorded.
That is true. I'm asleep at home right now.
Like, Will and I are all kind of natural and stuff, and then Chris comes on. We're like, cut. Try that again.
We've talked about how we sometimes record his parts like eight times. Yeah. Yep.
Look, if I were here live, it would cost you guys a lot of money for the appearance fee. I'm clearly a big celebrity.
That's true.
I guess.
That's true. His canned stuff costs a little bit less.
That's right. If I can do it on my schedule, then you get a
wait, cut. Try that again.
3% discount.
astute listeners might recall that Japandroids are from Vancouver. And I think I had something else to say, but I forgot. So
you're going to tell us all about the best restaurants in Vancouver.
Yeah, that I could. Well, I can't tell you about the best. I can tell you about some good ones, though. Okay, the album is called Near to the Wild Heart of Life. And here's a song that is cool, so I'm going to play it. It's called No Known Drink or Drug.
Drifters, demons, alone, lost and fast, running out of reasons for not falling in with the foreign legion. Cold kicking the can around town one evening, streets all abandoned, bars barely breathing, a whirlwind, a woman and a famous feeling. A cool, hard beauty christened with composure, boots, skirt, blouse, shawl over her shoulders, skin soft, lips colored crimson clover. Slow burning sermon to have and hold her, but ever since she started sleeping over, oh Lord, I'm living like a holy roller. Red animal romance in the summer heat, in parks, on patios, and in the streets, on mission making moments into memories. And when winter's off the leash and on the loose, we ward off the weather with a witch's brew of dominoes and pros and delta blues.
That's Japandroids. Kind of rocking.
It is kind of rocking. I think the Majestic is going to be rocking on Monday, and I think I'm going to go. I think I'll take Wilson.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting back into town, but my hope is that I'll be like awake enough to go. I'm an aging rocker, so it's a little difficult.
It is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I do find myself rocking at least 10% less hard than I used to.
Yeah, you're at, right, 90% rocking.
Right.
Yeah.
Ask me really to go out.
More of a swaying than a rocking.
Barrett's at 83%. I'm at like 77.
Yeah. No, I think actually my rocking is even lower than that.
You know, there's for that.
Yeah.
There's a little blue pill you take for...
Yeah. So really? If call your doctor if you've been rocking for more than 4 hours.
Right.
God, it's the most obvious joke, but it's so funny.
Oh, wow. Nice.
If you're rocking like Springsteen, then you got to call your doctor.
Springsteen should do the ads for whatever. I'll have what he's having.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Now you serve that one up like a brewer... reliever fastball. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep. All right.
Like Pete Ladd fastball in 1983.
You know who I think of when I think of like bad brewery relief pitcher is Reggie Cleveland. Remember him?
How long? I remember that back in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't very good.
They got him real late in his career. He played for Texas, right?
He was the kind of the fat pitcher that you joke about because he's like not a real athlete. Like, remember John Kruk?
Yeah.
His famous quote, I'm not an athlete, I'm a baseball player.
Right.
So Reggie Cleveland, you know, he was kind of like 50, 75 pounds overweight, you know. And
You're going to make me look this up now, aren't you?
We used to kind of joke that, you know, he would just serve up these, you know, we call them meatballs.
You don't see the super fat pitchers very much anymore. Yeah, you got like Bartolo Colon.
Right.
You got the
Remember
huge guys.
Remember Paul Russell for the Cubs?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In the 70s? Like fat twins pitching for the Cubs. That's cool. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
The Boston Red Sox used to have the guy, the Hispanic pitcher, and they called him El Guapo.
Yeah.
He was enormous.
Does that mean fat guy? What does that translate
to?
Yeah,
the fat.
No, that's El Gordo.
Oh, right.
Guapo handsome. Is handsome.
Yes, guapo. Oh. Muy guapo. Okay. Yeah. That's better than being called El Gordo.
That's an insulting nickname.
But it's
the
like,
fat.
Right. But it's like, it's kind of one of those opposite nicknames where you're like, there's a fat guy and you call him tiny or something.
Right, exactly. Know? Okay. But they don't do that with small people.
They bald guy, like, and you call him, hey, hair guy.
Right. But you don't. Something like that. Yeah, well, like curly, maybe.
Curly.
Yeah, or hair guy. But they never call like a skinny person like, hey, fatso.
Yeah, like Tiny Archibald. He was tiny. Remember Tiny Archibald?
Yeah. They don't call him like, you know, like tree.
My wife had a friend, and her name is Deanna, and she was like super skinny. And I jokingly called her Heavy D once, like that type of nickname.
Did it backfire?
Yeah, her friend punched me right in the shoulder and told me never to do that again.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Huh. Well, you got taught a social thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't call women fat. I'm going to put that on my... I'm going to make a note on my phone here.
It was, first of all, let's back up here. It was loving. Secondly, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't do that. seems pretty common sense.
How about you maybe don't even call anybody
it
fat?
It was the 90s. You know,
it was
you could get along.
Back then, you're calling people fat.
You could call people things that you couldn't.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I called people fat, called them whatever back in the 90s. Because it was the 90s.
Go on.
Right.
Dumb.
About to get yourself
those are the days.
Ugly. Hey, dummy. Like back in the 90s where you could just like throw your trash on the street and call people stupid.
Yeah. It was like,
hey,
yeah, lawless.
Hey, ugly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Complete breakdown of society.
Yep. Barrett, did you listen to that Japan Droids album?
I did. I listened to it enough to get an impression of it, but not, you know, I didn't really pick a song. Oh. So, I could just pick one in the middle of it, or I could just let you pick one.
Well, Chris listened to it once, right, Chris?
Yeah, so I've spent like pretty much my last week listening to that album from Barrett's top 10 last year, like the Soul album.
Yeah, you
it's
like
awesome,
it?
Awesome, yeah.
Isn't it great?
Oh, yes. That one, the one that was a compilation.
Yeah, the compilation album. What was the name of that again? Give it
Sitting in the
plug.
Park. Numero Group, Sitting in the Park, I think.
Is that what it's called?
I can look it up while you guys talk Japandroids.
Let me talk Japandroids here for a second.
All right.
I feel like... This isn't like on the national scale, not like national as in the United States, as in the band, The National.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of missed out on the last Japandroids album. Like I probably listened to it 50 times, maybe not that many times.
How could you miss out on it then?
I don't know that I liked it a whole lot. Hmm. Like it's universally praised. Everybody loves it. It's like, hey, it's this rock album and it's happy rock. And
it had a great title. It was called Celebration Rock.
And it's absolutely lives up to that. But I just, I didn't love it. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was worthy of the universal praise. But and so in saying that, I'll say something controversial. I kind of like this one actually a little bit more.
Yeah.
This one grabbed me a little bit more. Immediately than the last one did.
I think I might agree.
Wow.
With one exception.
Okay.
But do you have a track to pick, or are you turning it over to me?
I do not. You're in charge.
Okay, let's stay in the second half of the album and play a song called Midnight to Morning.
You
Pandroids.
You know, I almost had to use this podcast as a weapon last night.
And how was that?
I was just sitting at home minding my own business when somebody in my Twitter feed started this long tweet storm, I guess is what they call the kids call them, about why Automatic for the People is the best REM album.
Huh.
And I was outraged. Mm-hmm. I was incensed.
Shocked and appalled.
I was shocked. I was appalled. I was all of those things all at once.
Uh-huh.
And so I immediately went to our rankings of the top 15 REM albums.
Yeah.
And I was just going to send it to him and just like, I don't want to hear any more of this. These are the answers.
Yeah.
Go away.
Click. Go ahead.
Right. But
where did it range on ours? Like no higher.
I bet we had it like number 5 or 6 probably maybe.
Yeah, I, you know,
it's a good album.
In looking at the albums, it creeps into the top 5, 6, depending on where you put Document, I think. Because I think Document's overrated, so I might even put it ahead of Document.
Yeah, I probably
I think
would.
I did.
But,
yeah.
But best album?
That's just
That's outrageous.
That could happen if it was the first one you heard, though, maybe, right? I mean,
like if you're in high school and you fall in love with a girl while listening to that album, and then you retroactively try to, you know...
Yeah, if it was your current, right. If it was the album of your current time or whatever.
It's just not the case. It's just
absolutely
outrageous, and I'm still outraged by it 24 hours later, and so I just had to mention it.
He's still agitated, I can tell.
But it goes to show that this podcast covers the issues of national importance.
Right.
Right.
And what irritates me is he has like 100,000 Twitter followers, and so this garbage is getting out there.
He's spewing this terrible information. Yeah.
I know.
It's fake news.
Fake news.
It's an alternative fact.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Please, go on more about Japandroids.
Nothing on this podcast is fake news. This is real stuff. I think this is a really good album, and, you know, catchy and fun, and sometimes they go for those sort of chorus-y things. I don't know how to describe them. They're a little bit... like too much going for the hit kind of thing. I guess
I didn't notice it when I listened to it. Is there an almost 8-minute long song on here?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the exception I'm going to say. That's the weakness of the album is that there's a song right in the middle called Ark of Bar that's 7.5 minutes long, and it's just not that good. And that's like a fifth of the album. So I'm going to criticize that. It's not a terrible song, but it's just not as strong as the rest of the album. So I think it kind of hurts the overall quality. But still, good, fun album.
Yeah, I agree. One of my impressions I came away with was similar to what you said about the kind of the whoa, oh, oh, kind of
those things,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
which I think has no place in music for smart people. No.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Like they think they need to do
it's
that.
It's almost like it's fun.
Yeah,
like
I mean, no, I mean, isn't it so overdone and so like? I find it worse than boring. It's like very. Annoying.
A couple years ago, commercials started using all these songs that all sound like the exact same song.
Oh, right. It's like Mumford and Sons. That one,
yeah. There's that. Right.
That's in like every commercial.
And then there's a Jeremy Messersmith song that has like kind of that same chorus, and that got used in a commercial. And then so you can listen to like 10 commercials that all have kind of the same type of song. It's Jeremy Messersmith, incidentally, who now spells his name without the capital J and M in Jeremy Messersmith.
Oh, and it's now small letters?
Yes, it's now it's now you have to spell it lowercase. And he announced it on his website, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love Jeremy Messersmith.
Yeah.
It's preposterous.
I'm totally with you on that. I like he seems like a really great guy.
Yeah.
But I'd like it, you know, kind of hokey, though.
If they wrote about him in the New York Times, they'd spell it with capital J, capital M, and then in parentheses, stylized as Jeremy Messersmith with a small. They wouldn't give him the satisfaction. Credit. It's like, this is your name.
Yeah.
Like when the New York Times writes Meat Loaf and it's Mr. Loaf.
Yeah.
Do they do that?
Yeah.
That's great.
They famously referred to Iggy Pop as Mr. Pop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. All right. Well, we got to play another song by Japandroid, so we're going to let Barrett pick, and you're going to pick either 1, 2, or 3.
Well, just to show you, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pick the last one.
Oh, wow. Barrett's a rebel.
Civil disobedience. I like it.
This is track 8. In a body like a grave.
words to live by, all in a lifetime and all in a body like a grave.
There you go.
What it kind of sums it all up for me.
So your life is now different having heard that lyric?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm going to make it conform to, well, I have to figure out what it means first, but then I'm going to make my life conform to that bit of lyric there.
So, yeah, so we played the later part of the album. So the earlier part is probably more sort of outwardly catchy and maybe a little more rockin' than the Representation that we played. And then you run into that song Ark of Bar. So people can listen to that and let us know what you think. But overall, I'm giving it a passing grade.
Wow.
Wow.
On my pass-fail test.
That's like a C.
No, or it could be
D
any
minus.
It could be an A.
You can pass with a D. Yeah. Trust me, you should see my college GPA. You can get by with a D.
All
D's
right.
D's get degrees. Right? Is that what they say?
Yes.
It rhymes. That is the Japandroids album, Near to the Wild Heart of Life. And they rock pretty well for two people. Mm-hmm. So maybe Barrett and I will go see them. Or maybe just Barrett and Wilson will. We'll find out.
I'd go.
Okay, maybe Chris will.
I mean, it's kind of awkward now that you've invited Barrett.
But me. It almost seems
well,
like
he
Chris
mentioned that he was thinking of going.
Disinvited.
You said you were thinking of going to...
Barrett and I will go, and Chris is definitely not going.
You said that you were thinking about or interested in Cloud Nothings, and you did not say that about Japandroid, so I assumed that...
We only have so much airtime here.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm interested in lots of... should I tell you all the things I'm interested in?
Yeah, everything.
Paleontology.
Okay, that's good.
Building bridges.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's
antiquing.
Good enough. I think we're going to leave it right there because we had one more possible pick, but it was the total Anurag favorite. So let's save it, and we'll get Anurag on. Because Barrett was going to, what were you going to do? You were going to, first it was going to be soft gloves, but
I was
then it was
take
like
off
maybe
the
just
gloves.
Take them off, yeah.
Well, really, I mean, I didn't have any gloves to begin with. So really I was going to keep the gloves off or put on the kid gloves when Anurag was going to be here. So
definitely don't want to wear the adult gloves.
I didn't even bring, you know, I can do some cleanup on that stuff I was saying about the kid gloves because I looked it up.
What about if you had brass knuckles?
That's maybe a little too far.
And you could punch him in the face.
Or, yes,
I wouldn't want to punch Anurag in the face.
Bare-knuckled brawl.
I have never punched anybody in the face, nor have I ever been punched in the face.
I wrote a column about this a couple weeks ago.
About punching people in the face?
About when you punch people in the face, it's important to use proper etiquette. Because remember the Nazi who got punched?
Excuse me? After
you can't. So you remember, like, on the streets of D.C., the day of Trump's inauguration, there's this Nazi out there giving an interview, and somebody walks up to him and just punches him in the face and drops him.
I heard about that.
And everybody on the internet's cheering
about
the
Nazi. Is
it
okay to punch a
Nazi
in the face?
Hmm. And so I set aside a few rules. First of all, punching really hurts somebody. I've done it. You're risking a broken hand. It's like punching a bowling ball. Like hitting somebody in the face. It's not like in the movies where you just can wail on somebody.
So Chris has done
exactly.
This.
Yes.
Why did you punch somebody in the face?
I've been on both sides of this
was
equation.
Was it a Nazi? Oh, you got punched for being a Nazi and punching
Wait. This is good. Taking a turn here. I have punched someone and I have been punched. It should not surprise anybody that I've been punched.
As an adult?
As a college student, yeah. I was in a bar brawl.
What?
That I actually started.
Wow.
It was so funny.
Did it hurt super bad?
It was funny because we were having like drinking contest, and the guy across from me filled up his beer like half as much as mine because it was, we're supposed to be racing. And I was like taunting him. I was like, will your mother fill that beer? And he got really mad, and he threw his beer on me, and I went over the table at him and started swinging. And
this should be on film. This should be punched him. Yeah.
And it was so funny because literally it was like in the movie Roadhouse or something where people in the bar turned around and just started punching each other like for no reason.
Wow.
It's amazing. So everybody really wants to get into a fight. This is what you should know.
Yeah. Looking for an excuse.
They just need an excuse to do so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really hurts to punch somebody. So in order to punch someone, it has to be a mutual agreement to punch each other.
Okay.
Like a let's take this outside type of situation. You can't sneak up on someone and punch them. That's cowardly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine with punching people if it's a contract, a verbal contract between two people, which I imagine it almost always is in a bar. You walk up to somebody and say, "Dear sir,
right.
I believe you have impugned my integrity, right. and I would like to invite you to go out and enjoy some fisticuffs with me."
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then at that point,
you throw down the gauntlet.
Yeah. Right. And so that's when it's okay to punch somebody.
I think many of us who have never punched somebody still kind of feel like maybe there's somebody you would want to punch, right?
I don't know. I think it would be really unpleasant to punch somebody in the face.
I don't mean like literally want to, but like feel like you want to.
Nobody nobody lacks a reason to want to punch someone. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to punch someone.
Like if I was a person that punched people in the face, I would want to punch Ted Cruz in the face.
Yeah, that's a punchable face. Trump is the obvious guy. But then, like in the sports world, do you have any like sports villains?
Oh,
you want to punch?
How much time do you have?
But that was another that was another point that I made. It was like in sports, people start punching like in hockey all the time, and they don't go to prison.
Right.
It's like there are certain places where punching people is actually accepted.
Well, hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know. Like in basketball, people or in baseball, somebody will charge the mound. They'll get in a fight, punch each other.
Or how about boxing? You ever seen that?
Yeah, they punch each other
lots of punching.
I've heard of it. Where they wear kid gloves, though.
Yeah.
You don't want to wear the adult gloves because then somebody gets hurt.
Right. Well, yeah, we're back to that. So it's like goatskin or, goatskin gloves. And the original meaning was, I guess there was a time back in the 1800s when... like really maybe a posh person would wear kid gloves and it wouldn't be, maybe it would be scorned by the working class, right? So later when the phrase was imported to the United States, people thought like it kind of lost that meaning, but it meant like softness and treating somebody softly. But really it's kind of a derogatory thing. Like if somebody's going to punch you with kid gloves, it means they're like kind of a fop. And it probably wouldn't hurt that bad.
Oh, see, I thought it had something to do with kid being like the goat. Kid being,
they're
like
made
a kid
with,
is like a young billy goat, right?
Right. Or that's what goatskin gloves. Yeah.
Okay.
Ah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Man.
So there you go.
Okay.
But now, wait, we didn't hear about when you got punched. This is the same time.
Oh no! This was I did get punched that night as well. I also got punched in
what are you saying?
Grade.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is hours later?
So like, in eighth grade, maybe? Seventh, eighth grade, David Mosier and I got into a fight in class. And it was totally a, like, meet me down at the football field at lunch, and we'll settle this. And word got out to people. So people actually, like, went down there to watch me fight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there. The fight starts. He punches me in the face once, and I just drop. And that's it. That's the fight.
It's a first round TKO.
It was a first round TKO. I did, in the end, get a lot of sympathy from the ladies because my nose was bleeding. So it was a net positive for me.
Did he bop you right in the nose?
Punch me right in the nose. Like, boom.
Oh,
and
my
I was bleeding
God.
Out of my nose. Didn't break it, but it was bleeding.
That just sounds like the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, sounds bad.
I had been playing on my computer, I had this karate game. And I thought that I could do karate. So I may have, like, done a karate pose, and he just punched me in the face.
Yeah.
Didn't work, like, in the game at all.
It was awful.
That's sad. Well, instead of talking about this other band, Chris, you said you had something else to talk about.
Yeah. So have you listened to the Desert Island Discs at all? Not the Radiohead song, the British, the BBC radio show.
No.
I've seen reference to it, maybe only from you, with Theresa May's Desert Island Disc.
Yes, so online they have, it's a radio show on the BBC that goes back to the 1940s, where I forget the guy's name, but he had this idea, let's have celebrities on to discuss their 8 favorite songs. Like, if you're on a desert island, these are the 8 songs that you would take with you. And so the archive is on there, and it's unbelievable, like, the people that they have on here, like, the celebrities and stuff. So they'll just bring somebody in, and they'll talk a little bit about their life, and then they're like, okay, go to the next song. And they talk about, like, the 8 songs that if you were, by yourself on a desert island, what you would take with you. So I've been spending, like, a lot of time thinking, like, what my 8 songs would be. If I could listen to no other songs for the rest of my life, what would they be?
That's, you'd have to pick one by like Godspeed You Black Emperor that goes on for like 18 minutes. So that would be a good one.
Yeah. But I mean, there's strategies for this. You could pick the songs that mean the most to you. You could pick the songs that you think are technically the best, the catchiest, songs that, you know, you listen to at a certain point in your life that reminds you of that certain point in your life. So there are all kinds of different criteria of, for the songs that you could pick.
Are you on this desert island like for the rest of your life then? And these are like the only 8 songs you can ever listen to again?
Yes, these are the only 8 songs that you can take with you.
So you got to go with something that that you think you could tolerate like a lot of listens. Which would be difficult, right? Because you'd probably wouldn't you just hate him anyway
maybe
after
about
10 or 20 times?
You would. So maybe you'd want to pick songs that you've never heard, because at least you're starting from, you know, for like the first week, you'd be like, I'm kind of getting into this.
Maybe I'd pick like symphony orchestras or something that, that I've just, something that would just make my brain think differently.
Maybe you'd want to, like, on a desert island, maybe you pick some, some Bob Marley, some Jimmy Buffett, something that kind of really gets you in the mood.
12-minute live version of Margaritaville.
Right. Yeah, you gotta it's, I mean, overall it would suck, but you really gotta embrace it.
Yeah.
So you gotta maybe set the tone early.
Well, the length of the song, see, this is when I worked in a pizza place in college, people would come in and play Jane's Addiction's 3 Days because it costs just as much to play that as any other song in the jukebox, but it's 12 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we're getting a deal. So even if it's like kind of a deep cut from their album, I still probably heard it 1,000 times. I don't know that a long song makes your trip on the desert island any more enjoyable, though.
Right.
Like, it's not going to shorten.
You can listen to the short one 3 times. It's not like they're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would kind of be the same effect as the one long one.
So, yes, Theresa May, who's now Prime Minister of England, of course, is she picked some Gregorian chants and some Mozart and ABBA's Dancing Queen.
Huh.
So.
Eclectic. Yeah.
But it's funny to see, like, you know, these people who are governmental figures and, you know, serious people kind of step out. It kind of just gives you a window into kind of what they think.
Right.
Otherwise.
Barrett would have Primus, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. Anything with that pop and bass sound that I love so much.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So I've listened to the one that has David Mitchell, who's on a show Barrett and I love called Peep Show.
Is that Mark
Corrigan.
Does he have good taste?
His taste wasn't great.
How about Super Hands?
Super Hands is not on there. Yeah, even though he loves Tottenham.
He does.
I found out the actor loves Tottenham, which is why they
included
that. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I listened to Morrissey was on there. I listened to Ricky Gervais.
But you can go back and listen to, like you said, people in the 40s?
Not all the way that far, but like into the 70s.
Okay.
You can go back and find any famous person back to the 70s, and they've probably been on the show, so...
Why haven't they had us on?
I know.
I don't know. We should do our own version. But I thought if there were an American version of this like show as a podcast, it would be outstanding.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
I mean, a lot of the names that you see are British names that you probably wouldn't you wouldn't know who the hell they are. But if they did that in America, I think
U.S. politicians would have, they'd think it through and think about what's the right thing
think
to say.
Think about like Newt Gingrich's 8 songs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God. And be like, well, I got to have Toby Keith in there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then I don't want to look like an idiot, so.
But it seems that'd be interesting to know. Like if they were pandering to a certain group, that would be interesting to know.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
It'd be clear.
Right.
Like what type of person. So what it'd be cool if like, you know, what if like Paul Ryan went in and picked like Godspeed You Black Emperor or something
that'd
like
be
that.
Pretty cool.
Like you'd say, oh my gosh, this is like a totally new part
I
of this
he
person.
Was a
that...
total. I won't even go into that, but like when, that's pretty good.
Like when Scott Walker, the Wisconsin governor, like when you find out in college he really wanted REM to come to the Marquette campus. It's like, wait a minute, that doesn't even make sense.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. Okay. We've rambled long enough.
He might be the least cool mayor, or rather governor in the United States.
There are probably some pretty uncool governors. Yeah. I don't know. I'll get you a list of top 10 uncool governors.
All right. Yeah, let's do a ranking. Coolest
But anyway, that's my idea. Worst. That's our million-dollar idea. Cool. We're going to do Desert Island Discs in America, and we'll start getting famous people on the podcast.
All right. Identify the first famous person.
Good idea. All right.
Go meet a famous person, and we'll do this.
Let's...
Who's the most famous person we know?
I think it's you, Chris.
Oh, my God.
That is appalling.
That's what he's been angling for this whole time. He wants to do a spin-off podcast.
Yeah.
Well, since you brought it up.
Well, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Chris, you brought
it up.
I'd
like to make an announcement, guys. That's why I'm here tonight.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys. I think we should sign off, though. I got to edit this thing. And not that it'll be difficult at all, because this just flowed just beautifully.
Right. Absolutely.
I think we should sign
off. I think that we should take the microphone away from Will so that we can keep talking.
Could do
He's
that.
He's trying to cut us off.
We're going to go talk on my podcast over my house.
The rival podcast.
Yeah. Isn't this like Elizabeth Warren being silenced at the in the Senate?
We're going to release
kind of the same thing.
We're going to release our podcast like 3 minutes before you do yours.
Do you ever wonder why they don't just have, like, you know, in sports now, they're like electronic, like in tennis, there's like this electronic thing that says whether the ball's in or out, right? So, like, there's all this precision that you can have if you want. So why don't they have it in political debates and the Academy Awards? Why don't they just say you have this many seconds and then the mic just turns off automatically? You know, you wouldn't have to have the moderator saying, sir, 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 your time is up. Just be like, okay, here's your question. You've got 30 seconds. And then the mic just, you know, there's a timer and then the mic just goes silent. It goes off.
I think it's typically because the candidates have to agree to the rules
and
ahead
they
of time,
won't agree
and they will no candidate will agree to being cut off in mid sentence, because then you could say something that lacks context.
Yeah. What if you have somebody there that can punch them in the face if they go over?
And we're back, full circle.
Okay, so if they won't do it in the political context, they could do it at the Academy Awards, right? When the person starts saying,
they could.
"I'd like to thank this person, this person, this person."
Well, they do it with the band; they start playing the music.
Yeah, that's right. I guess they do that.
So, but what if I was getting it and I'm like, well, I'd like to thank Nicholas and Anurag and Craig and
we get
Will.
Podcast
award. And then it goes off before I get to you.
Then I'd run up and strangle you.
You just,
especially if you're on my new podcast.
Yeah.
And Dave Zuger. and
Archduke Ferdinand.
Yeah.
And you're just thanking everybody.
Oh, man.
I'd like to thank Carrot Top. I'd like to thank Michael Stipe. I'd like to... Okay, go on.
I'll fade it out as you guys keep talking.
That's a good idea, yeah. Right, usually we end it like, with a... There's definite end, but this...
If you want to talk over the credits, go ahead. But I'm going to say good night. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
And I'd like to... I'd like to thank New Belgium Brewing Company.
Yes.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.
Okay, they stopped talking.
Are you still recording?
We're still recording, yeah.
This is still going?
Yeah.
Chris?
I'd like to thank the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Everybody's scrambling to get their headphones back on.
This is the bonus content that pay the $10 get.
I don't think anybody's still here.
I'd like to thank Danny Glover.
Danny Glover.
Yes.
Steve Albini.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I'd like to thank Raleigh Fingers.
Why not Pete Vukovic?
Sure. Moose Haas.
Let's also, how about Andy Replogle? Let's thank Jim Slayton.
Well, I'd like to thank Winston Churchill.
Yeah, I guess he's... Was he a reliever? Was he like in the bullpen in the...
He was a lefty.
Mid-80s?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I thought so.
He had a a 5.73 ERA, though, and it had, I think, 1.76 walks plus hits per inning pitched.
Oh, man, that's too high.
Yeah.
Aren't people going to be bummed when we tell everybody the cure to cancer after this?
We're going to say what that is right after we stop recording.
We're going to wait till we could sell that to the drug companies, remember? Yeah.
That's true. The pharmaceutical. We're pro big pharma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.